بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Today we are beginning سورة العصر. And سورة العصر, as we know, is a very short surah. We all love these short surahs. But in light of the topic which is included in سورة العصر, it is deemed a very important surah. Because you can say, in a nutshell, it describes a very important topic, which we will realize when we read it. And it was so important that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they used to meet and they used to, for their necessity, their needs, etc., it was their habit that whenever they used to part ways, then as a reminder to each other, they would recite this surah. So they gave so much importance to the topic in this short surah that as a reminder, they would read the surah and then part ways. And it's been mentioned that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi used to say that if someone ponders upon this surah, it's enough for his success. So it's a very important surah. And it contains a very simple message. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal Asr. I swear by the time. Innal insana lafi khusr. Man is in a state of loss indeed. Illa alladhina amanu wa aminu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Except those who believed and did righteous deeds and exhorted each other to follow truth and exhorted each other to observe patience. In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. He takes an oath by time. Why does he take an oath by time? So the answer is that from one aspect, time is the most valuable commodity, the most valuable wealth, the most valuable asset each and every one of us have. Because without time, you can't do anything. You want to earn the hereafter, you want to attain iman, you can't do it without time. A'mal, you can't do it without time. And progress in the world, the same thing. So time, you can say, is the most valuable asset. Every moment of time is a very valuable asset. And like we said, for worldly progress, it's valuable as well. If you read about the lives and the routines of those people who run large businesses, who are very successful, you will realize they barely waste time. They have a very strict routine. And in fact, if you read about their early days, when they were still doing the hard work to get to the top, then their life was even more strict in terms of time. They would barely have time to enjoy themselves as well. They would sleep less as well. So even for worldly progress, this is a commodity of time. You need to make use of it properly. You cannot allow it to go to waste. You cannot allow it to go in wrong. And for dini progress, the principle is the same. And all those people who reach dini heights, when you look in their lives, you will see the same thing. That they don't go around wasting time. Our mentality is that if our time is spent in good, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, if we stay away from wrong in our time, those of us who have some religious worry, if I stay away from wrong, if I don't do anything wrong in my time. So I had 3 hours today in the afternoon. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything sinful in the alhamdulillah. No, but that time is a valuable commodity which you could have attained so much for the hereafter. But instead you let it go to waste. It's like a person, he has £100 in his pocket and he is walking and there happens to be a hole in his pocket and he falls out. Then when he realizes that, no one will say, you know what? I didn't make use of the £100, but at least I didn't purchase anything harmful with it. No, every person will say, I made a big loss. So time passes. A person is unable to utilize it well for his needs of this world and more so for the hereafter, then it's a very big loss. That's why in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Man is in a state of loss indeed. Man meaning people in general. They're in a state of loss, meaning this very valuable commodity, they don't use it very well. And time is the most valuable commodity from one aspect. But it's not a commodity you can store. Is that a commodity? Is that an asset you can store? You earned £1,000 today. That's something you can store. You can use it when you need to, when you want to. It goes in the bank, it goes in your pocket, it goes under the mattress. And you use it when you want to. Time, you have 1 hour of time. Very valuable commodity. Much more valuable than money. But if you don't use it at that time, there's no way to store that 1 hour. You have to use it at that time, otherwise it's gone. And when that 1 hour goes, then you might get other hours in future. You might not. No one knows when his death is. But that 1 hour is never going to come back. So if I give a very simple example, if I had 1 hour, and someone else had 1 hour, and in that time, I wasted that 1 hour. I didn't use it in good. The other person used it in good. He's got such an advantage over me that I can bring that 1 hour back and use it. If I use the future hours, well, that's fine. But he can do that as well. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by time. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Man is in a state of loss indeed. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an exception. And in the exception, he mentioned four things. That person who does four things, then he's not in a state of loss. Then he's successful. Then he's made the most of his time. What are these four things? Except those who believe, those who have iman, which alhamdulillah we all have. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And thereafter they do righteous deeds. They are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the first two. And these first two are self-explanatory. We've explained them before as well. And they are connected to oneself. Iman and obedience to Allah, righteous deeds. After that are two more things. And they are connected to other people. What are they? They exhorted each other to follow truth. And they exhorted each other to observe patience. What does this mean? Exhorted each other to follow truth means that they exhort each other, they tell each other, they encourage each other to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And patience here means, patience here doesn't mean patience as we take it. Patience here means self-control. So they exhort each other to control themselves. Control themselves when? From the disobedience of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if those people who are successful, they have four qualities. They have iman. They carry out good deeds themselves. On top of that, they tell other people to do good. And they tell other people to stay away from evil. They do amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar, in other words. Now this final phrase, part of the surah, is very important. Because unfortunately, the majority of us, our attitude is that if I'm practicing, if I have iman, and I, according to my understanding, I am obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I fulfill my responsibility. I'm successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just mention amanu wa amilu salihat. He mentioned two more things as well. And the essence of those two is that you have to tell other people to do good, you have to prevent other people from evil. Now there is something else to understand here as well, which is that how much do you have to tell other people to do good? How much do you have to tell other people to stay away from evil? What's the limits? How much do I have to do? Do I have to spend my whole day going around telling people to do good, staying away from evil? Do you have to say it to every person I meet? How much is compulsory upon me? This is also very important to understand. Because in this matter, there are two extremes. One extreme is those people who think that I don't have to... I'm practicing, I don't have to worry about anyone else. That's incorrect. On the other hand, is those people that think that it's our responsibility to worry about everyone. We'll be asked, some people say this as well, that some people even say this, that if someone passes away somewhere in the world and he's not practicing and you didn't make an effort to preach to him, then you will be asked. That is incorrect. No, there are limits for what's compulsory upon a person. What are these? In a nutshell, I will try to explain to you. The first thing to understand is that telling people to do good, preventing them from evil, is of two categories. It's of two categories. This is really a very important topic, but it's not mentioned very often, unfortunately. So that's why I'm trying my best to explain this in a short time, in simple words. There are two categories. And in simple words, the first category is initiative, and the second category is reactive. What does that mean? The first category. Initiative means I take out my own time. I think to myself, I want to become part of the mission of propagating to others, of telling other people to do good, staying away from evil. And thereafter, for that, I use my time however I want. I decide to start delivering talks from the mimbar, like ulama do. I decide to make literature and distribute it. I decide to take part in the da'wah and tabligh effort which goes on in masajid. This is the first category. And this is very, very rewarding. But this first category is fard kifaya. What does fard kifaya mean? Fard kifaya means that in the ummah, a group has to be doing it in every era. In the ummah, there must always be a group doing it. If such an era comes upon the ummah in which no one is doing it, then the entire ummah would be sinful. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always kept a group in the ummah who carry out this mission in the form of the ulama, other people as well who help the ulama, who think along the same lines. So they take out their own time, take the initiative and spread deen, in other words. That category is fard kifaya. Like we said, fard kifaya means it's not compulsory upon every single person. So that category is very rewarding. But if a person thinks regarding this category that it's compulsory upon every person, that's wrong. That category where you take the initiative, you take out time, and you engage in any form of da'wah and tabligh, any form of propagation to Muslims or non-Muslims, that is fard kifaya. It's not compulsory upon every person. Like we said, it's very rewarding, but it's not compulsory upon every person. On to the second category, which is what we really need to understand, because this category is compulsory on me and you, on every single one of us. What is that? This category is... This category also divides into two aspects. The first is regarding one's subordinates. What do I mean by one's subordinates? Those who are under a person. Family, children. Although in our time, they're not usually under a person anymore either. But traditionally speaking, one's children, one's spouse, one's wife, etc. Similarly, sometimes other people are given a position of authority. So, if they do something wrong and you see it, you know of it, then it's compulsory upon you to stop it. It's compulsory upon you to stop it. But with two conditions. It's compulsory upon you to stop it, but with two conditions. The first condition is that there's no danger. There's no danger. So he's your son. And traditionally speaking, Islamically speaking, he's supposed to be obedient to you, but he's so strong and you're so weak that you think that if I try to stop him, then I'll be in danger, he'll turn on me. The condition is not met, then you don't need to tell him. That is the first condition of your subordinate. That number one, there's no danger to yourself. And number two, you're telling him is you feel, according to your understanding, that it's going to be beneficial. It's not going to be useless. So for example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of our children on iman. My wife is not performing salah. So now, Sharia says I have to tell them, but I have to look at two things. Number one, is there any danger to myself? If I tell them, they'll turn on me, they'll harm me. No, there isn't. And number two, is what I am going to say beneficial to that person? Will they listen to it? Or is it going to be useless? Like I said, you have to make your own decision. No one knows the future in terms of your relationship with the person. For one child, it may be beneficial to speak to him. For the other child, it may not. And in regards to this, you have to advise them verbally as well. And if verbal advice is not enough, and you have to physically reprimand them as well. And physically reprimand them, I just mean hit in any position. You have to give them a punishment as well, but you feel it will be beneficial, then it's compulsory to do so. If a person doesn't do this, he will be asked on the day of judgment, even if he is religious himself. This is regarding one's subordinates. Like I said, I know I am taking I'm going into a little bit of detail, but this must be understood properly. I will say it again before I go into the second. Regarding one subordinate, you have to look at two things. Number one, will they benefit from what I am saying? And number two, is there going to be any harm to me? If both of these, you say, no, there's no harm to me, they will benefit. Then you have to advise them verbally. And if it goes to the extent that you have to give them some kind of reprimand, some kind of punishment, which you feel will be beneficial, then you must do that as well. It's compulsory. That's your subordinates. What about the rest of the world? So in the rest of the world, it's similar. You see someone doing something wrong. Like I said, not anywhere and everywhere in the world. No, you see someone doing something wrong. I'm going out to the masjid, for example, and I see someone doing ghiba. And I realize he's doing something wrong. Here as well, I need to do the same thing. I need to think, number one, if I advise him, is it going to be beneficial? So I look at the person and I think, I know this person very well. He's a regular musalli. He has a religious worry. He has a reverence for me as well. So I know that if I say one or two words to him, he'll listen. He'll benefit. Okay, the first condition is done. And the second condition, is there any danger to myself? No, there is no danger to myself. He's not someone like that. Now it's compulsory for me. If I walk past and I have no worry about him, I will be asked on the day of judgment. So like I said, this you need to make a judgment yourself, but you need to have this mentality. And especially for those people close to us, those are the people whose words are going to affect us. You are sitting with your friends, and someone mentions they're going to go watch a film. And you know that, number one, there's no harm to me if I advise him, and number two, my advice will be beneficial. He's not someone who's just going to throw it out of the way. It's compulsory upon you to advise him. If you don't, you will be taken to task. But here, if the person doesn't listen to you, then you don't have to give them any reprimand. Obviously, you don't have control over them. So with your subordinates, you have to go a step further. If it's beneficial, you may have to reprimand them, etc. But with other people, if it's beneficial and there's no harm to you, you have to advise them. And if they don't, then you've done your responsibility. You don't need to reprimand them in any way. So this is something which is extremely important to understand. Let's make sure we're not on either extreme. The extreme that I don't need to worry about anyone is wrong. And the other extreme that I need to worry about everyone and worrying about everyone is compulsory is wrong. No, these are the boundaries. One aspect regarding one subordinate, another aspect regarding other people, whoever you do see doing something wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring all four qualities into our life and become complete mu'min. Ameen wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.